Earlier this month, Governor Kathy Hochul announced two massive transmission projects designed to get power down to New York City from upstate New York and Canada. To discuss the scope and meaning of these projects and why New York may not have maximized this moment, we're joined by Gavin Donahue, president of the Independent Power Producers of New York and a GOP appointee to the state's Climate Action Council, which is tasked with crafting a roadmap to dramatically lowering greenhouse gas emissions in New York. Welcome back to the show, Gavin.
Well, great to be with you, David. Thanks for the opportunity.
Well, we're glad to have you. So broadly speaking, can you explain to listeners what was announced by the governor in terms of the power sources involved, where it's going, and how it's actually going to get there?
This was in the terms of an announcement in the energy space, a 10 in magnitude. This is a major, major announcement by Governor Hochul. It's not unexpected. I think I would have liked the results to be a little different, but to get to your question, the purpose of these announcements are to help assist New York to achieve its climate reduction clean air goals that are under statute from the CLCPA from 2019, which, as you have mentioned, I'm on the council. This power is meant for New York City. The renewables in New York State are being built upstate. It's very obvious to people because of the available land and space. And how do you get that to a place where you can't achieve decarbonization easily? And that would be to move that power in one project's case from Canada to New York City, and another project, which is in-state, to move the project from upstate down to New York City. And there are two projects announced. One is the Clean Path New York, which is the one that is 1,300 megawatts. It's 174 miles long, underground, and it's going to dedicate itself to 3,800 megawatts of renewable energy from upstate. It's promised to be in operation by 2026, and it's going to use NYPA's Belheim-Gilboa pump storage facility. The second line is the line, to me, that's more problematic, is the 1,250 megawatt line that runs 330 miles from the Canadian border underwater through Lake Champlain down the Hudson River into Queens from Quebec to New York City, and it is supposed to be in service by 2025. So this is a huge shot in the arm from Delaware County on one project and Canada on the other side of the second project into New York City. That's the magnitude of the line. Now, the line, the Clean Path line, which is the one that is internal to New York State, is supposed to cost $3-plus billion and go 174 miles in distance. It's interesting to me that there is no cost data available for the Champlain-Hudson line, which is double the size. So just doing back-of-the-envelope math, you're looking at a line that's 339 miles long underwater. In my estimate, could be $7 or $8 billion on top of the $3 billion line in Delaware County. So in terms of dollars, it's huge. In terms of megawatts, it's huge.
What would be the rationale for not releasing cost estimates for the project that's going to originate in Canada?
You'd have to ask them. I don't know, but they did freely announce the cost estimates of the in-state project at 174 miles, as I indicated. What has to happen now is NYSERDA will have to refer these decisions to the Public Service Commission, which has to look at the cost side of this equation and other things. Are we really delivering renewable energy on these lines? How is that going to be deliverable? Is it energy or is it capacity, which is the ability to generate? So there's a lot of other technical questions. So this announcement, you know, it looks like as though it's done. Champlain-Hudson, the line out of Canada, has its permits. So it's definitely much further along on Clean Path New York, but there still has to be an approval by the Public Service Commission that this project is in the best interest of reliability, meeting the state's energy goals, and is affordable for consumers. So we'll see how that review goes. I expect to be part of that review process. One of the things that I'm concerned about is that there is not enough power in Canada that is of the renewable specs to meet the qualifications of this RFP. So one of the things we're going to ensure is that there's a baseline review to ensure that we're just not flooding this line with fossil fuel when we have New York's climate law on the books requiring in-state generators to meet these emission goals.
Yeah, so in a statement following the governor's announcement, you described the state's decision as a missed opportunity. Why is that?
Well, one, I've talked a little bit about the failure to really drill down on costs, mm-hmm. and I think costs really matter. But for me, we have, as folks know, a depressed economy upstate. We have power plants across the state that are struggling to get by in New York. And when I say a missed opportunity, I think the state should have required Champlain Hudson Express to put a converter station in upstate New York, which they did. They actually applied for a permit modification to do such a thing.
And what's a converter station?
Converter station will take the direct line current, which is called a DC current, and it will change that power when it's received to alternative, an AC line, alternative current line. So it helps move the power from upstate to downstate. So it allows existing generators in New York State to sell their power into this converter station as a way to get it to New York City. It's just another way to change the composition of the power to get it where it's needed. I readily admit it's an expensive project to do, but we're already talking about a $10, $11 billion project to start with. And we have stranded assets upstate. We have stranded renewables upstate. We have stranded power plants across the state that pay billions of dollars in property taxes. So in my mind, the state missed an opportunity by not addressing upstate's needs, in my judgment, by putting a converter station in. And that's what I mean by a missed opportunity. And further, there were 7 total projects that were put into the queue to respond to this Tier 4 RFP. We chose a project that originates in Canada. We chose an in-state project, the Clean Path New York. What I'm trying to understand is what was wrong with the in-state renewable generators that proposed projects, and there's no explanation as to why they didn't get chosen. And at the same time, we have the Clean Energy Standard in New York, and we have shown repeatedly there is New York renewable companies willing to build these units and get the jobs and the taxes. For example, offshore wind. We've got New York companies bidding on offshore wind. My membership is building over 2,000 megawatts of renewable projects across New York State under the Clean Energy Standard today. So when I say missed opportunity, I feel like the state turned its back on in-state renewable generators. They're willing to give up the jobs, the taxes, and even more importantly than all that, relinquish our control of electricity to a sovereign nation. And I don't understand that, because there's people that want to invest in New York and deliver these renewable goals for New York State. So that's when I say missed opportunity, those are the two reasons I think it's a missed opportunity.
In case you're just joining us, you're listening to the Capitol Press Room, and we're speaking with Gavin Donahue, president of the Independent Power Producers of New York. So you noted that there's a review process as well as a need to get some permits. So putting all of that into the equation, do you think it's realistic to assume that the upstate project will get done by 2026 and the Canadian-based project will be done by 2025? And with regards to the upstate project, do you think it's realistic to expect that it will come within that budget of $3-plus billion?
Let's take one at a time. Champlain Hudson could be in service by 2025 because they have all their permits. They have one little permit modification they need to get, and I expect they will receive that. So I do think Champlain Hudson can be in its service by 2025. Clean Path New York needs to apply for its permits. It needs to go through the Article 7 process, which can be, as we all know, building anything in New York can be complicated and controversial. We are, obviously this announcement was only 48 hours ago. I know they're very serious about getting their permits and want to start the process and are just waiting for the PSC approval. So that it will be further along. They say that they will be in operation by 2026. We'll see is sort of the short answer, because there's no permits yet for that project.
And what about the cost as it pertains to the project in upstate New York, where we know it's going to cost, somewhere in excess of $3 billion? Is that realistic?
Well, that's the project cost the state of New York has said publicly, and that's what's been in CleanPath's own paperwork. I just found it unique, and I thought your listeners would want to know that there is no dollar associated with Champlain Hudson. So I have no reason to question the $3 billion number for CleanPath, but it's a complicated thing. I mean, you're talking about delivering renewables, you're talking about health benefits, you're talking about clearing up congestion in the transmission system with new lines. So it's a tough number to put your finger on because there's a lot of factors that go into what the costs are.
You mentioned that there were, I think, seven pitches to the state for this round of projects, and obviously the state went with two. How should I interpret the amount of interest that there was in this solicitation by the state? Is seven a lot? Is it a little? What do you think?
I was overwhelmed with the response, actually, because Tier 4 in this solicitation came about with the governor, Cuomo, and the state of the state in January. Mm-hmm. And these projects had to mobilize very quickly to even be able to put proposals in. When I talk about proposals, these proposals are in excess of 300 to 400 pages apiece. So a lot of work went into those. Before January, there was talk of a Tier 4 proposal, but the only project that they talked about was Champlain Hudson. And to Governor Cuomo's credit, he realized that there were other projects out there, and he wanted to see which ones on an in-state basis can be competitive with Champlain Hudson. So that solicitation was opened up, and I'm pretty impressed with the number of solicitations. And to be clear, I don't represent most of those folks that applied. But what the point that your listeners need to know is that there are renewable companies that want to invest in this state, and we're taking ratepayer dollars and sending them to Canada. And that to me is the problem with the public policy.
Should the announcement from the Hochul administration be viewed as a continuation of Cuomo policies that have been built up in recent years? Or does this feel to you like her staking out a new direction in any way, shape, or form?
I think Governor Hochul is very smart. I think she is well aware of the clean energy goals in this state. She's participated in a lot of the different programs when she was lieutenant governor. I think she believes in these goals and recognizes their statutory mandates. In the past, these goals were regulatory in nature, and we never met any of these goals. Now they're in law. So how do you really decarbonize a section of the state that needs to be decarbonized? We also need to build transmission. It has been since 1989, the last major transmission line that was built in New York State that moves power from upstate to downstate. So there are valid arguments from an infrastructure standpoint. There are statutory requirements that the state has to meet. And I think speaking, you know, for the governor on this one is that she feels that these projects help meet those goals, particularly in New York City, where those goals are very difficult to attain. Do I think there were better projects to have looked at? Yeah, I do. Do I wish if she chose Champlain Hudson that she put a converter station in so that people in state can compete on this line and help out local communities that are struggling to pay their property tax bills? Yeah, I do. And that's what the missed opportunity is.
And in terms of the costs, you mentioned ratepayers. Is this something where, like a lot of energy initiatives in New York, this is going to be built into the energy bills that New Yorkers are paying?
Absolutely. Nobody should make any mistake about it. This is all going to be paid by New York ratepayers. It's going to be expensive. It's going to take a lot of time to build it. These goals are complicated. But most importantly, they're worth pursuing if we pursue them smartly, if we actually do the analysis of what the cost is. It's just when you say that tomorrow we're going to achieve all these goals, and we don't look at realistically, how do you keep the lights on? How do you keep it affordable? How do you keep it clean? And how you make that transition? The details are really important. It's really hard to keep the lights on a day-to-day basis in a state as diverse as it is in New York. So we need to do it smart. We don't want to end up like California. We don't want to end up like Texas. We want to transition appropriately. So for me, these are big projects that need a lot of investigation, and we need to make sure we do it smartly. And the last thing we need is to make energy costs so expensive we chase businesses away from New York. And that's really what has got my attention.
Do you think we're going to see another transmission announcement in the near future, or is this going to be it for a while?
I think this will be it for a while. I think they're going to try to see how successful these projects are. They're going to have to give Clean Path an opportunity to get permits. And again, you're talking in excess of $10 billion just for these two projects. We're not talking about offshore wind and the 9,000 megawatts of those. We're not talking about the 10,000 megawatts of solar energy. You know, this stuff is going to be expensive. So at some point, I think folks have to press the brakes and say, how much is it costing to achieve these things? Because they do need to be paid for.
And finally, you're a member of the Climate Action Council, and by the end of the year, you need to have a draft plan together on how the state's going to reach some of its greenhouse gas emission reduction goals. How are you feeling about that process right now?
I've enjoyed being part of the process. I think it's an incredible exercise. It's daunting. We're talking about, you know, changing the whole economy of the state of New York. This is not just a energy discussion. This is electrification of every facet of our community. Goes back to the world, you know, appropriate transition. How do we do this correctly? There's been a lot of debate, a lot of conversation on hundreds of recommendations dealing with agriculture to power generation to transportation, all being looked at by the state of New York. We expect to start getting copies of draft scoping plans in the coming months, coming weeks, I should say. What has me definitely concerned is the fact that the modeling that is being done by the state is modeling for no new natural gas in New York State. That is a game changer. If we are not going to have natural gas in New York State, and we're not going to be able to repower units with natural gas, it's real questionable as to how we're going to keep the lights on. And I think the public needs to understand that reliability has to be the number one issue here. So I am very focused on the future of natural gas and new technologies. How does the state attract new technologies to keep the lights on in the long term? If we're going to have zero emissions, we need technologies like hydrogen, renewable natural gas, carbon capture, fuel cells, those types of technologies that today are very expensive. But we need to attract them to keep the lights on. But in the short term, a future with no natural gas makes no public policy sense in my mind.
Well, we've been speaking with Gavin Donahue. He is the president of the Independent Power Producers of New York and a GOP appointee to the state's Climate Action Council. Gavin, thank you so much for making the time and explaining some very complicated issues for us.
Anytime, David. Thank you for the call.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by New York State United Teachers, a union of professionals in education, human services, and healthcare.
Join us again for Capitol Press Room, a production of WCNY Connected, Syracuse.